Thank you very much, Adam. Some kind words. Well, good evening to you all. Welcome here to the house of the Lord. All those who are online, those who may be listening later. You can see, yes, prayer is my title to my sermon. I when they were putting out the schedule, nobody picked up this evening, so I said, all right, I'll do it. And I thought, you know, what's a good companion to fasting? Well, fasting and prayer go hand in hand. So that's what I thought about today. What I wanted to bring to you was prayer. Just like Adam mentioned, this is something I've done for a very long time. Unlike last week when I said about fasting, I haven't done that very much. But this is something I've done. I've got pretty familiar with it. At least I thought I was. And then I started researching for this sermon, and you know, I realized I've not been doing it the best way I could have. And so hopefully I can convince you of the same, that there's just more to this. Just like the fasting last week, there's more to it than just the absence of food. There's more to prayer than just speaking your mind. So, how many of you believe in the power of prayer? All right, I see a lot of hands going up. I'm sure because your hand went up, you probably have a testimony of some time in your life when you prayed and that prayer was answered. And that gives us faith and it gives us a belief that there is, you know, someone who is listening, someone who is there, someone who is hearing us, and someone who is conscious of our needs. And it's written in the Bible, James, the 5th chapter, the 15th verse, and the prayer of the faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And that quick little survey, you know, you raised your hands because you believe in this. You believe in this statement that prayer is powerful. It can be. Now, the next question. How many of us struggle with prayer? Not as many hands went up that time. That's something harder to admit, isn't it? I dare say we've all struggled with prayer. That is something that we forget. It's something that we do quickly. Something we do as a matter of course. Something that we just kind of go through the motions on at times. You know, and it's a struggle. And the reason it's a struggle is because we have an adversary who is speaking to us as well. Galatians in 5th chapter, 17th verse. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. You know, a lot of us raise our hands. Oh, yes, I believe in power of prayer. Several of you are willing to admit you struggle with it from time to time. You know, and here is the struggle. The struggle is something that we face all the time. We have an adversary, someone who is interested in cutting our lifeline to our Savior and to our God, to our salvation, to grace and to mercy. And if he can distract us, he wins. He wins a battle. Hopefully he does not win the war. Hopefully we continue to fight. And I want to go over some of those things. You know, why is it that we struggle? Why is it that we are inconsistent? Why is it that we don't have effective prayers? Well, I just came up with a few reasons. This is not all inclusive, but if you can think about it, sometimes it's a lack of focus. How many of us have been praying, and then all of a sudden, you think about the laundry that needs to be done. You think about the shopping. You think about the car needs an oil change. And your mind begins to take over, and you have these distracting thoughts, these intrusive thoughts that come in. And the next thing you know, we have drifted off to sleep, and we forgot to say amen and close the prayer out. You know, that happens. You know, sometimes we are not feeling very well. We're feeling depressed. We're feeling anxious or tired. You know, sometimes it's our circumstances. I was in my living room not too long ago and thinking about, you know, and praying, contemplating some things. And I had my little lounge chair up and the feet were up and my dog was sitting right between my legs. And as I'm contemplating and trying to, you know, draw closer to the Lord, a dove comes and hits the window in the front window. Bam! And that little 10-pound dog went to DEFCON 1. And he went and shot towards the window to protect me from whatever it was. He knocked over a potted plant. And all of a sudden, I wasn't thinking about praying anymore because all of a sudden, there was this chaos that took place. There's a barking dog and a bird flopping on the ground outside my window, and a potted plant is now flipped over and a mess I got to clean up. You know, sometimes our circumstances overrule. We can get distracted. You know, lack of focus. Sometimes it's a lack of confidence. You know, we lack the words. I can't express the emotions that I'm feeling. I can't express the thoughts that I have correctly. I haven't practiced. You know, sometimes I'll hear someone else pray, and they're praying, and they're quoting scriptures, and they're sounding eloquent, and I'm like, my goodness, if they give out sponsorships for prayer, they would be sponsored, you know, by prayer.com or something. You know, these people, you know, they pray deep and meaningful, and they find said stories that you've never heard of, you know, like, oh, give us peace after Ehud, the left-handed assassin, killed the fat king Eglon. The peace that Israel had. And you're like, what is that story? Is that in the scriptures even? Like, where did that come from? I didn't even know that was there. And it is a story in the scriptures. It's in Judges, in the third chapter. But a left-handed assassin that assassinates a fat king. Who knew, right? But there it is. Yeah, but these people will do those kind of things. Well, they'll go quote things, and they'll sound amazing in their prayers. And you're like, I don't sound like that. I'm not that guy. No, I don't have that kind of practice. I don't have those kind of words. Will God hear me? Sometimes it can be a lack of faith. Is God listening? Will he do this? I've prayed before and not had my prayers answered. I'm sure there are many of you out there that have prayed and not had your prayers answered. And not even like, hey, I wanted, you know, a new job or a new house or a new car. You know, hey, I prayed that my friend would forgive me. Or I prayed that I would be able to do something. I prayed that, you know, these my friends here would not get divorced, and they did. I prayed that my loved one would be healed, and they weren't. Are you there? Lord, are you listening? You know, those are some of the things that can affect our prayer life and how we approach God. So the first thing I think we need to understand, you know, what prayer is not. All right, prayer is not a vending machine, right? I don't put in my prayer quarters and out pops my blessing. That is not what prayer is about. I don't get to just do, it's not a tit for tat. Hey, I do this, you give me this. It is not a business transaction. I don't get to insert, so let make my selection, have my blessing pop out. This is God, prayer is not a spiritual vending machine. God is not a business partner. Prayer is not a negotiation. I don't get to come to the Lord and say, hey, Lord, I'll stop doing this if you do this. Lord, if you do this, I will start to do this. And negotiations require equal partners. We are not an equal partner with God. We don't have the power to negotiate. That is not what prayer is for. It is not a negotiation tool. It's not a business merger. It is not why we pray. Prayer is not a performance to impress. If we're trying to impress the Lord with our words, our manner in which we speak, you know, the Lord is not impressed. That is not why we pray. We don't pray to impress others. We don't pray to impress the Lord. It is not the purpose of this avenue. Prayer is not something I just do in the moment. I say my prayers in the morning. I say my prayers over my lunch, over my dinner. I say my prayers at night. No, it's not this thing that we just pull out for this moment of action. It is more than just a momentary action. So what is it? Prayer is a way of life. If you go into 2 Nephi in the 14th chapter, "For if ye would hearken unto the spirit which teacheth a man to pray, ye would know that ye must pray. For the evil spirit teacheth not a man to pray, but teacheth him that he must not pray." There's that battle I talked about. That conflict between evil and good. And the moment you feel like you shouldn't pray or can't pray, someone is speaking to you. You are being influenced. Verse 12, "But behold, I say unto you that you must pray always, and faint not, that you must not perform anything unto the Lord, save in the first place you shall pray unto the Father in the name of Christ, and he will consecrate thy performance unto thee, and that thy performance may be for the welfare of thy soul." We're supposed to pray always, and not faint, not cease. There's a scripture in 1 Thessalonians in the 5th chapter. It makes this mention, this phrase, "Pray without ceasing." And you know, when I look in the scriptures, I look to see the great example, Jesus Christ, who taught us what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to be, where we're supposed to go. You know, Jesus led by example, and Jesus prayed a lot. I think he's probably the closest one that came to praying without ceasing. I could only fit 10 on the page. There are more. At Luke, in the 3rd chapter, he prays at his baptism. Mark, in the 1st chapter, before he goes to Galilee, he prays. Luke, in the 5th chapter, after he has healed people, he prays to the Father. In the 6th chapter of Luke, he prays all night before choosing his 12 disciples. Matthew, in the 11th chapter, while he was speaking to these Jewish leaders, he began to pray. You know, those that were his enemies. John, in the 6th chapter, giving thanks to the Father before he fed the 5,000, he opened up in prayer to the Father. Matthew, in the 14th chapter, when he walked on water, he prayed prior to that miracle. When he was in the garden in Gethsemane, immediately before his betrayal, he prayed 3 times that night, asked his disciples to pray with him. As he's nailed to the cross, he prays. Right before he dies, he prays. On this land, after his resurrection, he comes and prays for the people here, for the children. You know, prayer was a part of everything that Christ did. He gives us example, tells us, and gives us guidance. Matthew, in the 6th chapter, "When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." You know, this outward show, this prayer to impress, the eloquence and the words and the scripture, you know, they made a performance out of it. And they got their applause, and they have their reward in this life. And their prayer does not ascend to heaven. Verse 6, "But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." You know, Christ often left the crowds. He often left the people he was with. He left his disciples at times. "I need to go and be alone. I'm going to pray to my Father. And I can't have everyone around me." "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not like therefore unto them. For your Father knoweth what things ye have of before ye ask him." You know, it's another wonderful promise that we have. You know, we don't have to know what to pray. We don't have to have all the eloquent words. Our Heavenly Father is well aware of our situation. And so the first thing is we need to make time to pray alone. You need to pick a place. It can be any place. It can be your closet. There is nothing wrong with that. It can be in the car. And you've arrived at the store. You can take a couple minutes and you can pray alone. You can go to the bathroom. Nothing wrong with the place. I know there's mothers out there. You've got children under the age of 6. You might have to lock yourself in one of these. Don't worry, your kids will come find you. Sticking their hand under the door. Mom, what's going on? If you got 4 minutes before they find you, okay, that's 4 minutes alone. And you can pray. And why do we come alone? Why do we need to be alone? For prayer time. Not all prayer time, but a significant amount of our prayer time should be just you and the Father. Why? Because intimacy does not happen by accident. You cannot get close to anyone without having time away from everyone else. Without being able to focus wholly upon God, without being able to focus wholly upon another person, you can't be really good friends. You know, that time that Adam and I talked about, and we were by ourselves on that trail, everyone else had kind of walked ahead. There we were, alone, praying. Made a core memory. Because intimacy is not an accident. It's intentional. If you want to be intimate with God, it must be intentional. There's another reason why. Look in Psalms in the 46th chapter, the 10th verse. Be still and know that I am God. You know, the picture up there of Jesus in his baptism, and as the story is told to us, the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove came down and lighted upon Christ. You know the thing about birds? They don't land on moving objects. They land on trees. They land on telephone poles. They don't make their nests in places that move. And the same is with us. If you want the Holy Spirit to make a home in you, you've got to hold still. You've got to push out the distraction, even if it's for a moment. Because the Holy Spirit doesn't make a home in something that's always moving. It's always distracted. It's always looking elsewhere. The Holy Spirit makes a home where it can rest, where it can find time to build. Christ continued to give us example. Again, in Matthew 6, he told us, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That prayer takes all of 15 seconds to read. And yet when I read it, I am touched. I'm moved. It's simple. It is not eloquent. It's not drawn out. We don't have to pray for hours to be effective. Simple is acceptable. Being clear, being concise. So we need to pray to the Father, as did the Son. That is who we direct our prayers to. As the example that was given to us, and over again, when Christ prayed, he prayed to the Father. As we should. We should pray to the Father. That is where our prayers are directed. And pray for his will in your life. Pray that his will be done. And his will for you is good. His will for you is peace and mercy and grace and life everlasting. That is his will for you. Pray that that will be done. You can pray for your needs. His physical needs, as he did in the Lord's Prayer. Your emotional needs. Your spiritual needs. Pray for what you need. Pray for forgiveness. We've all fallen short. And yet, we have this way. This path forward. The Holy One who came, sacrificed himself so that we can come before him and be forgiven. We need to pray against evil. Pray that it's not in our homes, that it's not in our lives, and it's not in our thoughts. Pray against Satan. In those scriptures I read before, he is watching. He's looking. How can I distract? How can I change direction? Even just a little bit. That's all he needs, is just a little change in direction to lead you off in the wrong place. And before you know it, you're mired. So pray against him. Pray against his power. Give thanks. Give thanks and give praise. Because he didn't have to do all this. Because we are unworthy servants. We're unworthy creatures. We cannot possibly make up for what he has done or earn what he has done. And yet he has given. He has given mercy and grace and forgiveness. So he is worthy of thanks, and he is worthy of our praise. We need to pray over everything. Alma, in the 16th chapter, verse 218. Therefore may God grant unto you, my brethren, that ye might begin to exercise your faith unto repentance, that ye begin to call upon his holy name, that he would have mercy upon you. Yea, cry unto him for mercy, for he is mighty to save. Yea, humble yourselves and continue in prayer unto him. Cry unto him when ye are in your fields, yea, over all your flocks. Cry unto him in your houses, yea, over all your household, both morning, midday, and evening. Cry unto him against the power of your enemies, yea. Cry unto him against the devil, which is the enemy of all righteousness. It goes on. Verse 220, cry unto him over the crops of your fields that they may prosper in them. Cry over the flocks of your fields that they may increase. But this is not all. You must pour out your souls in your closets, in your secret places, and in your wilderness. Yea, when you do not cry unto the Lord, let your hearts be full, drawn out in prayer unto him continually for the welfare and also for the welfare of those around you. You know, this is not just something that we do. This is a way of living. Not just this act that we do occasionally, but something that we give. All thought. When a thought comes in, you run it through that filter. Pray about it. In all aspects of our life, no matter what job you have, no matter if you're going to school, if you're stay at home, if you're young, if you're old, it's not just a way of life. Or it is a way of life. It's not just an action, but a way of life. And now behold, my brethren, I say unto you, do not suppose that this is all. For after you have done all these things, if you turn away the needy and the naked, and visit not the sick and afflicted, and impart of your substance, if you have, to those which stand in need. I say unto you that if you do not any of these things, behold, your prayer is vain and availeth you nothing. Ye are as hypocrites, which do deny the faith. Therefore, if you do not remember to be charitable, you are as dross, which the refiners do cast out, it being of no worth, and is trodden under the foot of men. You know, our prayer life and our life need to be together. We cannot put our prayers in boxes. You know, I have a box for, this is my car box, this is my family box, this is my job box, this is my wife box, this is my in-law box, you know, and this is my prayer box. You know, we can't compartmentalize. We really need to weave. That all parts of our life are intertwined with prayer. You know, when you intertwine something like that, you take cords and you wrap them, bind them together, you know, they become much, much stronger. They're bound in the right way. They help bear the weight of each other. They can handle a lot more weight. You can tie special knots and things, make them strong. So we've got to weave prayer into everything that we do and every thought throughout our day. We need to pray. Now, so what does that look like? How does this look, praying all the time? Well, when you're alone, you need to pray. When you're with people, you need to pray. When you're concerned about something at work, you need to pray. When everything is going great at work, you need to pray. When you're anxious about a family member, you need to pray. When you don't have care, you're carefree, you have no worries, you need to pray. When you are nervous, you need to pray. When you are calm, you need to pray. When you're sad, you should be praying. When you are happy, you should pray. When you're stressed, you should pray. When you are at peace, you should pray. When you're annoyed with someone, you need to pray. When you're satisfied with someone, you need to pray. You know, there's not anything we shouldn't be praying about. You know, Christ tells us we need to pray for our enemies. Those that would despitefully use us. You know, it doesn't have to be a long, drawn-out prayer. You're sitting at a desk at work. Here comes Jimmy down the hallway. Oh, no. Dear Lord, I need help with this guy. Can we not pray in the moment? Help me deal with this. Help me find grace. When we're on the road and something's happening to us immediately in front of us, we don't have the time to get out and get on our knees. You know, can we pray? Lord, help. We can. Every thought we have needs to be run like it's a prayer. Prayer is not something we do. It is a way of life. To pray without ceasing in all times and all places does not mean we never stop a prayer or unfold our hands. It means we realize God is always with us in all times and all places. He is merely a word away. That's what it means to be praying. We don't have to be physically bowed down on our knees with our hands folded. It's impossible. But when we rise and we go to the car to go to work, pray for a safe journey. On the way there, we can pray for our performance at work. When we get there, we can pray for a coworker in passing. Taking every thought captive and running it through a prayer. Because he's always there. Just a prayer away. Helaman in the fifth chapter. Yea, behooveth him and becometh expedient that he dieth, talking about Christ, to bring to pass the resurrection of the dead, that thereby men may be brought into the presence of the Lord. Yea, behold, this death bringeth to pass the resurrection and redeemeth all mankind from the first death, that spiritual death for all mankind, by the fall of Adam, being cut off from the presence of the Lord, are considered as dead, both to the things temporal and to things spiritual. You know, there was this separation, this fall from the presence of the Lord. How did we get back? Verse 71, but behold, the resurrection of Christ redeemeth mankind, yea, even all mankind, and bringeth them back into the presence of the Lord. He is just a word away, a moment. So when we pray, it's not just something that we do, it's how we live. It's how we think. It's how we filter. Philippians in the 4th chapter, verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, when we run everything through the prayer filter, it changes the way we think. It changes the way we see. The things that grieve God will begin to grieve us. The things that bring joy to God will bring joy unto us. And we're praying without ceasing in all that we do. We can reach verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. You know, if you're consulting God, who is all good, this is what becomes much easier. Running everything through that prayer filter, you'll begin to partake and think as God thinks, feel as God feels. By running it all through prayer. Prayer is giving your thoughts to God. I got this from a man named Max Lucado. He's an author. Some of you probably have heard of him. He writes books. But he had, you know, this is what he had to say about praying without ceasing. There's four different things, thoughts that you need to give to the Lord. Your waking thoughts. When you rise in the morning, you need to rise up. Thank you, Lord. This is the day you have made. I need you to direct my steps. Help me see needs. Convict me of my wrongs. When we wake up in the morning, we give him our thoughts. We give him our prayers. As we get ready throughout the day, we can give our waiting thoughts. You know, things that we're waiting for. I've been praying about a family member, that they would come to Christ. Whatever we happen to be waiting on, what our needs, waiting on at work, waiting on some decision to be made by someone else. Those waiting thoughts. I'm waiting for someone to be healed. I'm waiting. Give those waiting thoughts over to our God in prayer. Your whispering thoughts. Those are the ones we don't necessarily want to say out loud. Things we do not want to profess to everyone. But the whispers that are in our head. Can you give me wisdom, Lord, in this relationship? I'm standing in front of this person here. It might not be appropriate to bow down when, you know, Jimmy's coming down the hallway and say, dear Lord, help me with Jimmy. He's so hard to deal with. Probably not the most appropriate thing to do. But can you whisper that in your head? So give him, right before you get to stand up and give a presentation or perform at work, I hope I do well. God, you know what? Help me do well. a quick whisper before you perform. Help me on this test. Help me. And the final one is our waning thoughts. At the close of the day, you can reflect and look back on what happened. God, here's what happened today. Here's where I saw you today. Here's where I prioritized you. Here's where I failed. Here's where I gave up. Here's where I didn't have the courage. This is my burden, Lord. I need you to take it. Because I got to go to bed. And I want to sleep. Can I give this to you? You'll give him our thoughts. See, it's just a word away. We need to prioritize the presence of God. James in the first chapter. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. You know, I have something. I put this little picture up there. It's kind of a funny photo. It's a little fairy. There's something at work we call the idea fairy. This person comes in with an idea. And then when you ask for their help to implement it, they want nothing to do with it. I have an idea, and I want you to take this vision. We can't be the idea fairy with God. Hey, Lord, here's my prayer. I'm going to shoot this off to you, and I want you to fix it. Are we doing what we can? Are we doing what we can with what we have? Are we taking responsibility for the things that we are responsible for? Are we in action as we pray? We can't just come in and be one way, Lord. Hey, let's make this plan and have a good idea. Go ahead and carry that out for me. That is not what prayer does. That is not what prayer is for. It's not how we need to interact with God. We pray to him, and then we go out and we do what we can with what we have. Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. You know, I'm going to ask you guys to join me. We're going to take a moment, and we're going to pray. I want you to choose one thing. I'm going to have a moment of silence. And whatever that one thing is that came to your mind, I want us to all join together in a moment of silence as we pray. So please join me. As we leave here tonight, I want you to now continue on. I want you to pray without ceasing. Give every thought over to God. I thank you for your time.